It's the 14th of July, which is the French national holiday, Bastille Day. So what better occasion to talk about French food and wine? Hi, I'm Judith Sears-Poisson, sitting in for Larry Mueller today. Thanks for joining us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. If you think that French cooking is too sophisticated or too complicated to try at home, I hope you'll stay tuned. We have some recipes that are simple and delicious, and we'll have a great conversation to go with those as well. Betsy Piper was born in Germany, grew up in Chicago. She was the chef at the French House on the UW-Madison campus for more than 30 years before retiring last year. She's traveled across Europe and North Africa extensively in search of different culinary cultures. Betsy teaches cooking classes at All Through the House in Stoughton, which she's done for over a decade. And Betsy, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
And I have to say, I am recently the recipient of French citizenship, so it's an even better Bastille
Day. Congratulations.
Thank you. Dual citizen. I'm not thrown in the towel on the U.S., but it is nice to have dual citizenship. And so there's so much, obviously, to talk about with French cooking, and we'll talk French wine with Jessica Bell a little later. But I do think, Betsy, that French cooking has a reputation for being complicated. Do you think that's true?
Absolutely not.
Not.
No.
And, you know, it's I'm not sure what it is about French cooking that is it the elegance of it that intimidates people?
Well, I think so. I think when people think of French cooking, they think of the haute cuisine with the complicated sauces and the foie gras and the escargot and all these esoteric ingredients. And, I mean, some of that is true, but
sure.
But most generally, it's very simple, fresh food.
And that's key, I think. The French are really cued into what's fresh, what's seasonal, what grows locally or is raised locally or is fished locally. And how does that influence the cuisine, would you say?
Well, fresh is always better. And anything that you make fresh, it's going to taste a lot nicer than something that's out of the can or if it's not in season. And just fresh. And if you have a little herb garden in your backyard or in some pots, then you've hit nirvana.
And I think that one of the things that people think about with French food is they think of really heavy sauces and things like that. But like you said, there's really kind of the classical French cuisine, and then there's kind of the real everyday French cuisine.
True, true. Most people, they will eat the elegant things, French things, on occasion.
Maybe on a holiday or something.
On a holiday, but most generally they eat simple foods, prepared fresh, and not in large quantities either.
And that's something that we were talking about before the show started. There's really, I think, an emphasis of quality over quantity.
True.
And, you know, they say that, you know, it's amazing. There was a whole book about French women don't get fat and how can you, you know, enjoy all these wonderful pastries and cheeses and wines and everything. But it really is about eating and drinking in moderation.
Correct, correct, correct.
And so, enjoying what's there, but
yes, and not gulping your food down in 10 minutes. So it's when you go out to dinner, it's an event. It's not dine and dash.
Mm-hmm.
And you eat your food slowly and enjoy the food and also enjoy the company that you're with.
We're talking with Betsy Piper. She was the chef at the French House on the UW-Madison campus for over 30 years, and she teaches French cooking and other cooking at All Through the House in Stoughton. Are you a fan of French food? Is there a particular dish that you enjoy? We'd love to hear from you at 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email us at talk@wpr.org. And Betsy, as we said, it's Bastille Day, which is the French national holiday. And you actually experienced Bastille Day at the palace at Versailles.
Yes, I did.
Tell us about that.
When I first started working at the French House, the directress was from Versailles, and her name was Sylvie Witkins. And so she invited me to visit her town. So I was there, and we happened to be there on Bastille Day, and we went there, and it was absolutely gorgeous because they had Everybody dressed up in period costumes. They had Louis XIV in his carriage. They had these cavaliers with their plumed hats and their capes galloping through. And then they had women dressed up in period costumes, and they were dancing the minuet, and they had music by Rameau. And it was just absolutely stunning. And then at the end, then they had these huge fireworks, and then they had music by...
Did you say Handel?
By Handel's fireworks music, and it was absolutely beautiful. And I remember this to this day. And whenever I think of Bastille Day, that's what I remember. I know that they have a huge thing going on in Paris, and they also do have Bastille Days in other different countries mm-hmm. too. But that was just absolutely
it's most hard to
memorable.
Top Versailles for
it's
it.
Absolutely, absolutely gorgeous.
Well, and Versailles was known, not surprisingly, for lavish banquets for 2,000, 3,000 people
yes.
and, 10, 15
yes.
courses. And, and I think, food has been a huge part of French culture for as long as French culture has been around.
True.
And people really do think about, they think about what is from that area. So what are some regions of France that have a typical dish or a typical ingredient? How do the ingredients differ?
Okay, well, if you're going to the south of France, you have, instead of butter, they use olive oil, they use garlic, tomatoes, peppers.
So very Mediterranean.
Very, very, very Mediterranean. And then they have their fresh herbs. There's a blend called Herbe de Provence, and it's mixed with lavender, thyme, and marium. And mm-hmm. anyway, so that's what they use that. And so that's what they use is that. And then, fresh fish. And if you go to Marseille, you have the bouillabaisse. And so it's fish that's from that sea and making a fish stew out of that with, mm-hmm. with Pernod. And then, of course, having their wonderful French breads.
Of course.
And if you go to the northern part, it's different because they have, for instance, like in Normandy, It's butter and cream, so you'll find a lot of the dishes made with cream and butter, and of course apples, and they have mm-hmm. calvados,
which is an apple
right.
liqueur.
Right, or, right, yeah. right. So
and actually Normandy, a lot of people know of Normandy from World War II and things like that,
right.
but Normandy really strikes me as being so close to Wisconsin in the items that they produce.
Exactly.
Dairy cows and apples, like you said, cherries, and it really does,
yes.
there are parts of Normandy that really feel like Door County.
They have a wonderful recipe. It's a cherry clafoutis. And that's made in that region too. So,
which is kind of a custard with
right,
cherries,
right? Which I've made at the French House many times, and people really enjoyed it too. So,
well, we've mentioned the French House several times. Tell us what the French House is.
Oh, the French House is a dorm that men and women live there, and they have to speak French. It's not just students that are majoring in French, because we've had students that major in that are math majors, that are engineers. Let's see.
really from
every discipline. So they come there because they want to speak the French language. And it's also, we're open to the public on Wednesdays and Fridays. Wednesdays for dinner and Fridays for lunches. And there's, if you want to know more about the French House, there's a website. You just have to Google the French House. Mm-hmm. And we have a wonderful director named Andrew Irving, who was the best man in the entire world, and I thank him for putting up with me for all these years.
So you were the chef for 32
years. Yes.
And so you were cooking for the residents of the French House and for the general public. How did you decide, what to bring in? Because really, you were educating people about French food
right.
and French
customs. I'm also a self-taught chef.
So there you go.
So what I did do is I got cookbooks, and then I also knew that there was different parts of France, and they all had their own cuisine. So I would pick. So every time that when I planned the menu, then I would plan it, say that if it was the south of France, then it was everything that we were having for that day mm-hmm. for that dinner. Then it would be the if we'd have ratatouille. Then we'd be with rice, and then we'd have a nice little salad, and then we'd have a fruit dessert. And so that's how I picked it. So different regions, and then I would try these different recipes out, and most of the time they were successful.
Oh, I was fortunate to enjoy many of those dinners at the French House, and they were very successful. And I also liked that you not only brought in French, the country of France cuisine, but the Francophone world. So you would do dishes from North Africa or from the Caribbean.
Yes.
And how did you see French influence in those types of cuisines that were using very different local things?
Well,
perhaps
France
tropical.
Has a huge population of North African people. And as a matter of fact, the first time that I've had couscous is that when I was in Versailles, I told Sylvie, I said, what I'd really like to do is I would like to, find a couscous restaurant. And her mother said, I will take you to the best.
And couscous is a semolina-based...
Right. So couscous
is
also...
It's really a tiny pasta, almost.
Right, right. And the thing is, couscous is also a national dish in Morocco, and it's also a grain. So when I went to this restaurant and had the couscous, the restaurant was like I was in Morocco somewhere, and it was just absolutely fabulous. So then I thought, I have to go to Morocco. So my next trip is that I went to Morocco, and so I went to Meknes and Fez, and Casablanca, and some of the other places, and I would have couscous twice a day. And so the people that I went with said, you just had couscous. And I said, every region has it, they all have their own specialty, and I want to try it all. So I did make couscous at the French House, and it was also very, very popular, and people enjoyed it. And I also made my own harissa sauce, and
which is a spicy. Is it tomato based?
No. It's pepper. It's peppers. I mean, there's different recipes for them. What I used is roasted red peppers, and I would throw in different spices, red pepper flakes and olive oil, and then different herbs, and then just blend it, and then just serve it on the side, and then so it was always a very popular dish, and people always scarfed up all the harissa sauce.
Well, we are talking about French cooking and cooking in the French-speaking world with Betsy Piper. She was born in Germany, grew up in Chicago, and was the chef at the French House on the UW-Madison campus for over 30 years. She also teaches cooking classes at All Through the House in Stoughton, which she has done for over a decade. Do you have a favorite French dish? What do you love about it? We'd love to hear from you. And if you need a little encouragement to try your hand at French cooking, Betsy would be happy to give that to you. You can join in at 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post a question or comment on our Facebook page. That's The Larry Mueller Show. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson, sitting in for Larry Mueller today. Jason Butler, our on-air producer, here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Right now, we are talking with Betsy Piper. She was the chef at the French House for over 30 years and is also a cooking instructor. And Betsy, you were kind enough to provide us with three different recipes that we have up on the Facebook page. That's The Larry Mueller Show. And Mueller is spelled M-E-I-L-L-E-R. Sometimes people have a little hard time finding us. So The Larry Mueller Show. And, we've talked a little bit about some of the characteristics of French cooking, and I think really going back to that idea that simple is better. And so one of the things, and also I think in general, the French really like taking things and making them sometimes sweet, sometimes savory. And so, for instance, the idea of a cookie is not necessarily something sweet. You have a recipe for goat cheese and rosemary cookies. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that recipe?
Okay, it's made with fresh goat cheese, and with fresh rosemary, and it's sweetened with a little bit of honey, or agave. And what you do, it has some olive oil in it, and some egg yolks, and some flour, and then you just you combine the ingredients together, except the flour, and then you beat it until it's smooth, and then you add the flour until it's combined, and then you transfer it to a work surface, and then you roll it into a log.
So it's like it's like a typical kind of log
like
cookie,
shortbread,
or a sugar cookie that you're slicing.
Right. So you refrigerate it, and then you preheat your oven to 350, and then you line your baking sheets with parchment paper, and then you slice it, and then you place it on the sheets, and you don't have to worry about if they're close together because they're not going to expand.
Okay, just, so they stay in that
right,
that size.
And then you just bake them for about 20-25 minutes until they're golden, and then you cool them, and then you enjoy them, and you have them with your glass of wine. And
so that's what I was going to ask. What would this be something that you might enjoy before a meal?
Yes.
Just a little.
Yes, a little something to tie you over,
or to get those
taste buds rolling. Yes.
And when you said a little bit of honey, it really is. It's just a teaspoon of honey to 8 ounces of goat cheese. So this
really is a savory
cookie.
Yes.
And so I'm just looking here. It's about a half dozen. Ingredients, probably things that for the most part either are in the pantry or the refrigerator or easy to get, like goat cheese.
Right. Because you can get goat cheese anywhere.
Right. And really simple.
Very simple.
But elegant.
And elegant and delicious.
And rosemary is a very popular herb.
Yes, yes. Especially in the south of France.
And it's a beautiful little plant, like you said, having a little pot outside the kitchen door.
Yes. So
that's called sable au chèvre et au romarin, or goat cheese and rosemary cookies. We will talk a little bit more. There's also a chicken with lemon and lavender, and also a dessert. But next, let's go to the phones. And Becky in Appleton is waiting. Hi, Becky.
Hi there.
Hi.
I just had one comment. I thought it was very interesting that you guys were talking about couscous recipes, and my children, I don't remember where I came up with cooking couscous, but both of my kids from very young on enjoyed it, and people still look at me goofy today when my 4-year-old son, when I'll ask him what he wants for dinner, his answer is couscous.
Well, and I'm partial to couscous because that's actually our cat's name. We named our cat Couscous. But what is it about couscous that you think your kids love so much?
I'm not sure. He's ate it ever since he was young, so I don't know if it's just one of those, you know, when you feed it to him, they get used to it, and it's just one of his favorite. It's either, when I ask him, it's either couscous or spaghetti that he wants for dinner. So.
And do you put something on top of the couscous, or does he just eat it plain?
I usually mix it with a couple different herbs, whether it's the herbs de Provence, or I'll throw occasionally in some roasted red peppers, but I have to grind them really small and basically turn it into a sauce that's not so spicy that he doesn't know that it's there, but yet gives it flavor.
And, well, hopefully he will continue his adventurous eating as he gets older.
Hopefully.
Thanks so much, Becky. And Betsy, that actually brings up an interesting point, what Becky was saying about her young son enjoying couscous. French children grow up eating exactly what the adults are eating, and
that's
so they
correct.
Develop a
that's,
very
that's
wide
right.
range.
That's right. No peanut butter and jelly sandwiches for them.
Yeah. And this is what the family is eating. And,
right.
and
right.
even in French schools,
yes.
they eat
yes.
things that would never appear in a
right.
U.S. cafeteria.
Right.
Beets and shredded carrot salad and all kinds of things like that. Well, thanks for that call, Becky. And let's go back to the phones and Jennifer in Madison. Hi, Jennifer.
Good morning.
Hi.
This is an exciting topic for me. I've worked as a pastry chef for about 20 years. And so, of course, I have a big interest in French food and the French pastry.
Sure.
But then I also have had the opportunity to go to France, to Savoie. My mother's family is from there.
Hmm.
And my husband and I went there for kind of a whirlwind weekend to visit them on our honeymoon about 5 years ago. And they made tartiflette for us. That was our first dish that we had when we stayed with them in France.
Betsy is nodding. Away here.
It is the most amazing thing. It's definitely not something you eat every day, but there's potatoes and lardons of bacon and caramelized onions and white wine and this magnificent Roblochon cheese, which it's very difficult. I found it very difficult to find here in the States, but it has a consistency like a camembert and the...
Oh, okay. Well, actually, Betsy is itching to jump in here. Betsy, you've made.
I have made the tarte de flette. And if you can't find the reblochon cheese, and you can substitute brie. Mm-hmm. Brie or the camembert, mm-hmm. because sometimes the problem with the reblochon is that they can't import it into the country unless it's X amount of months old, just because of the pasteurization issue. But I've had it. It is an absolutely magnificent dish. Not locale, but with a glass of white wine, it's a wonderful meal.
And so, Jennifer, I can understand why it's made such an impression on you, because just hearing you describe it, I got immediately hungry. And tell us where the Savoy region is.
It is in, it covers a region like the Alps. It kind of gets thrown in, sometimes I've seen it thrown in kind of with Rhone. The village that my mother's family comes from is in Saint-Foy-Tarentaise, which a little village called Saint-Foy, and it is near the Swiss border and the Italian border, actually, in that area of the Alps. It's absolutely, a beautiful region with today's modern heating and indoor plumbing and things like that. It's very difficult to imagine why anybody would have left there, but I suppose when you had to try to live in the middle of winter for such a long period of time without those conveniences, it makes a little more sense.
Well, and it also makes sense, Betsy, why they would have such a hearty dish, too, right? Because so it had cheese, it had lardon, which is like thick kind of bacon, and potatoes and wine. That's a pretty stick-to-your-ribs kind of meal.
And fabulous reblochon cheese.
And reblochon cheese. Well, thank you so much for that, Jennifer. Although I have to say, like I said, I'm now very, very hungry as a result. But that was great to hear. And Barbara in Superior wants to talk about French food as well. Hi, Barbara.
Oh, hello.
Hi.
Hey, yes. I was speaking to the screener when I was in France. The cassoulet is absolutely wonderful. I've tried to make it here. But I find that the white beans, haricots blancs, they're different here. And aside from that, our lentils are not the same.
Yes.
Petit pois are not the same. And my husband was from Normandy, and we had a wonderful dish, scallops de veau with cream. But the butchers do not cut the veal the same way, but I have found that our local co-op, I am able to find lentils that are French or Canadian. They're smaller, but I'm still having a hard time finding the little peas that they have in France.
Well, let's see what Betsy says. It can be challenging, can't it, that you know how something is supposed to taste and look, and the ingredients just aren't quite the same. How do you approach that?
Well, it's never going to be the same, because when you buy things in France when you buy things in America, it's atmospheric conditions and the soil conditions too. So you are never going to get the same
taste.
For example, when Herbe de Provence, when you go to France and you buy it, it's different from when you buy it in America.
Mm-hmm.
But
because it might be, say, the same, it might even be the same herbs, but
they're grown
in different conditions.
Right. So when I was working at the French house, and some of the students, a lot of them would go to overseas, and they would say, what can I bring you? You know, some perfume or chocolates. And I said, no, Herbe de Provence.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So somebody did send me about 6 bags.
And I bet you guarded them with your life.
I did. They were like gold. So.
Well, and that's funny, because I do like to bring things back for people from France. And one of the things that I found packs easily and is light, they have these little almost kind of cigars of herbs that you can throw in a stew. And they're kind of, they look like a little cigar because it's a bay leaf on the outside.
Right. It's called a bouquet garni.
And it's perfect. And people love it because it's just a little different and it's so typical. Well, we are talking about French cooking, how to do it, how to enjoy it with Betsy Piper. She was the chef at the French House on the UW-Madison campus for over 30 years. And She is a culinary instructor. I'm Judith Sears Poisson, sitting in for Larry Mueller. You can join in at 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Have you had a French meal that you still dream about and would love to try to recreate? We'd love to hear about it. Or maybe you have a question about a particular ingredient or recipe that you've seen. Betsy is happy to help. We had an email from Steve in Madison. He says, your conversation makes us hungry. Well, it's doing the same to us, Steve, if it's any consolation. He says, where in Madison, other than the French House, peut-on manger comme chez les Français? Where else in Madison, other than the French House, can you eat like the French? And I don't think Steve's going to like the answer because Betsy is shaking her head.
Only at the French House.
Only at the French House. And, you know, are there places in the Midwest maybe where there's really fine French, like traditional French style cooking, or do we just need to save up our pennies and dollars and euros to go to France?
Well, I'm sure there is. I went to Las Vegas in February, and I ate at this restaurant. I mean, they have wonderful restaurants mm-hmm. in Las Vegas, and this is my first trip too. And so at the Paris complex, mm-hmm. they had this wonderful buffet restaurant, and what they had is different regions. It was stationed with different regions of France, so you could. If you go to the south of France, then you'd have the bouillabaisse, and if you went to the northern part or where the Alsatian part is, then you can have the charcut.
Which is sauerkraut, but boy, that doesn't do it justice.
Oh, yes.
It's garnished sauerkraut, so you've got ham hocks and sausage and just
lots
potatoes.
Of light, and white wine.
Yes, and white wine. Yes, again, stick to your ribs kind of
exactly.
kind of food.
So that was, if anybody really wants to go to France...
France,
in quotes, is try the food there. It's not as good, but it'll give you a taste of what
French it might food. Carry you through until you
yes,
can get to
until
France.
Until you get your pennies saved and go there, because it's a wonderful, wonderful place to go.
Well, we have three wonderful recipes from Betsy up on the Facebook page that we talked about, the goat cheese and rosemary cookies. This next one, I am dying to try. It is chicken with lemon and lavender, poulet au citron et lavande. And boy, you can't get much more simple than this. Five ingredients, I think. Why don't you tell us about that
okay.
one, Betsy?
So what it is, it's just it's chicken. And you can use whatever chicken parts that you like. I like using chicken thighs because, especially with the bone, because they have a lot of flavor.
And they stay moist.
And then, or you can use whatever chicken parts that you like. You can use a whole chicken and cut it 8. You can use just chicken bosoms or mm-hmm. or thighs or whatever you like.
Or a mix.
or a mix. And then you just take fresh lavender. Or if you don't have any fresh, I happen to have a little herb garden and I have lavender growing there. But you can buy dry lavender at any of the stores. Mm-hmm. And if you can go, you can also go to Penzies and they have it.
A good
also,
Wisconsin company.
Right. And then it's just it's olive oil and either a little bit of honey or agave nectar and then some fresh thyme sprigs. And then you combine these ingredients in a bowl and then you put your chicken in your dish, and then you just pour it over there and massage it a little bit, and then just cover it and let it marinate for at least 30 minutes or up to 4 hours, and then you just pop it in a preheated oven at 400. And before you do that, then you sprinkle the chicken with a little bit of kosher salt, and mm-hmm. then you just roast it until it's golden brown on top.
I just actually noticed, looking at the recipe, that it's chicken with lemon and lavender, and we don't have lemon in the list of ingredients.
Oh, then that was my my typo error.
So is it a lemon dish or a not lemon dish?
No, it's perfumed with lemon. So
okay.
It's about a tablespoon of lemon juice.
Okay.
Or actually, it's a whole lemon that you squeeze in there. So that,
okay.
that was my
we will
mistake.
Add that.
So,
no,
yes,
no problem.
Yes.
We will add that in. And first of all, not only is this just a half dozen ingredients, it's a one dish.
Right.
Dish.
Right. Right.
Dish.
Right.
one pot dish. That's,
yes. Yes.
Doesn't get much easier than
that.
So
you can serve it with the nice thing about this is that you can serve it with rice, with potatoes, with pasta. Mm-hmm. Or couscous.
Or couscous, going back to our earlier caller. Well, so that's chicken with lemon and lavender. And one of the things that we talked about earlier was some things, you know, that are characteristic of French foods. And one thing is that the salad does not come before the main course.
Right, right.
It actually comes after.
It always comes at the end, and that's to help to digest your food. And when I do my cooking classes at All Through the House, I always serve the salad last. And so people are always asking me, you know, why do you serve the salad last? And I said, because they're like little scrub brushes, and they scrub the food down so it helps your digestion.
Well, and also a French salad almost always has a vinaigrette on it.
Right.
So
right.
It's a much lighter, much
right.
brighter,
right.
and a
right.
little more acidic than
right.
than an American
dressing. Right. Yeah, because I always make a salad, and it's always with a fresh vinaigrette, always.
Which I think people get intimidated by, but it's, again, so simple.
It's very simple.
And oil, a vinegar, and often a mustard to bind it, right?
Yeah, and a little salt and pepper and garlic. And what I do is I have a little jar, and I will put in a quarter of a cup of a wine vinegar. So it's your choice. You can do a champagne vinegar. You can do a red wine vinegar, a white wine vinegar. You can do some balsamic or some sherry vinegar. And then you just add a little bit of Dijon mustard, not the ballpark.
Yeah.
Not the ballpark.
Real
no,
French
no.
mustard.
Real, yes, Dijon. And then you just season it with a little bit of salt and pepper. And you can add a garlic clove that you've minced. And then you just shake it because you want to dissolve the salt. And then you add in your oil, your olive oil or canola oil or the oil of your dressing or a combination of the two. And you just shake it. And that's it. And I would make the salad dressing by the gallons, and yes. I don't know what these people did with it. I don't know if they used it in their hair or if they perfumed themselves with it, but it was always gone.
And delicious, and
students would always ask for the recipe.
Mm-hmm. And another thing that talking about the salad coming after the main course, I have to say, when I was first being introduced to eating in France, I was not pacing myself correctly, because here in the U.S. generally, the main course is you're close to the end, and you know, and there you would have maybe some kind of an appetizer, an entree, and then the main course, and then you had your salad, and then you had a cheese course,
yes.
and then you had maybe a dessert.
Right,
so
right.
I was definitely not pacing myself very well. I learned.
Yes, you do.
Well, let's go. I think Doug in Johnson Creek has a question that many of us can relate to. Hi, Doug.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
When I traveled in France, I loved the French bread. And I just couldn't get enough of it. And when I came back to the States, I tried finding it. And, well, there seemed to be nothing that had the crust, the texture. I had some that were somewhat close, but nothing that approached what I got all over northern France where I was. And I was wondering, what do they do that's different that we don't do? And I'm not a baker, but I was wondering if there was something that I could learn to do to make it, because since seems like I can't find it.
You are not alone.
Here.
Yeah, you are not alone, Doug. And Doug, I think, is talking about, you know, that quintessential French baguette. And Betsy, any hope?
No. I'm sorry, but no.
And what is it? I mean, Doug's question is a really good one. What is it that makes
it's
so different?
It's the flour that they use, and it's the water, it's the salt, and it's, again, atmospheric condition, and also...
And probably the way the ovens are
built. Exactly. They have to be very hot. And when you have a baguette, it's only good for one day.
If that,
unless you eat the whole thing at one
right.
time. But it doesn't keep, so there's no preservatives in there. And so I'm sorry to say that you just have to go to France.
It's really, it is very true. And I think of all the things
although,
that it's hard
although
to...
Although they had, there's a brand... the woman, Bria?
Oh, yes.
Bakery,
mm-hmm.
yes.
Mm-hmm.
That comes close. that comes close.
So again, something to tide you over until yes. you can go. But in a way, it makes it that much more special
exactly.
when you are able
exactly.
to enjoy something like that. Well, I'm going to point people to, again, the Facebook page. That's the Larry Mueller Show. We also have a raspberry and almond tart recipe. And this, you know, is really pretty simple. You start out with a frozen pie shell.
Or you can make your own.
But you don't have to.
You don't have to.
That's the beauty of it. And what else is in there? This is also very, very simple.
So it's made with, you buy some ground almonds, and then it's just some sugar, and then some unsalted butter and two eggs, and you mix the almonds and the sugar and the butter together until it's smooth, and then you add the eggs. And then you combine it well, and then you spread that almond mixture in a pie crust, and you bake it.
And you say arrange raspberries on top. Is it just like maybe a pint of fresh raspberries?
Well, you want to have enough raspberries that you want to cover the whole area, and then you pop it in the oven. And it's just absolutely wonderful.
That sounds lovely.
Now, the thing is, this is also, because I made this for my class last week, that the dough was wonderful, even uncooked.
something you might want
yes.
to stick your spoon
yeah,
in.
So.
Well, and we were talking before the show, Betsy, that French desserts are much less sweet
exactly.
than American
exactly.
desserts.
Exactly.
So you get more flavors like nuts and fruits instead of just kind of that overwhelming
right.
sweetness.
Sweetness, yes.
We have time for one last call, so let's go to Nancy in Milwaukee. Hi, Nancy.
Hello to both of you, and I have a French name as you do, Judith.
Oh, well.
The reason I'm calling is that many years ago on my very first visit to France, I did not know really anything of the language at all. And we were in a restaurant, probably what you might consider a two-star restaurant, and I ordered something off the menu, really not knowing what I was going to get. And what appeared on my plate was a little animal with four legs sticking up, and each one had a little paper doily on it. And I have never known what that animal I have never known what that animal was. I was certainly hoping it was that they were not just going out to the Seine River and catching river rats. But it was just delicious. It was stuffed with a rice stuffing that had raisins in it.
Oh.
The meat was very tender. But it was it was about the size of a very large fat chipmunk. And it had these four legs sticking up. I was just flabbergasted, and I never have seen anything served in an American restaurant that had four legs sticking up. So I'm wondering if you might know what it was.
Wow. Well, I'm glad it was delicious. That's the most important thing. Betsy, do you have any guesses? Nothing is coming to mind for me.
Nothing.
I mean, I don't think it was a quail, because it wouldn't have
no.
four legs.
Right.
Huh. Wow. Well, we will have to do some research and see if we can figure something out. But I have not seen anything like that. we'll look into that, Betsy. Something the size of a fat chipmunk.
Well, I know that in Peruvian cooking, I think it's...
They do guinea pigs.
They do guinea pigs. But, and they do have... there's a restaurant in Madison, and they serve the guinea pigs.
Yes, yeah.
And their little feet are sticking up. But they don't have any doilies on them.
Well, we will now see. She left us with a puzzle that we can investigate. Well, thank you so much for that call, Nancy, for sharing that story. And Betsy, in just a minute we have left, if people are thinking, yes, I think I want to tackle French cooking, what's the best advice you can give them?
Just do it. Just do it. And if you fail, that's okay, because when you fail, you are learning. So just keep on doing it. And there, I mean, there's wonderful cookbooks that are out there. There's a favorite author of mine, and his name is David Leibowitz, and he just did a cookbook called My Paris Kitchen.
Oh.
And it is just a wonderful book, so I recommend that highly.
Well, and Jacques Pepin's most recent book has
exact.
A DVD that goes with
yes.
it, so you can watch
yes.
Jacques whip
yes.
up those
And then you can
things.
Also Google any of the French recipes. You can Google French recipes, and a lot of them will have a YouTube, and they will walk you through everything. So just do it, enjoy it, and then people will just flock to your house.
It's true. Well, Betsy Piper, thank you so much for flocking to our studios today.
Well,
it's been a pleasure.
Thank you for having me. Thank you very much.
Betsy Piper was the chef at the French House on the UW-Madison campus for over 30 years before retiring last year. She's traveled across Europe and North Africa in search of culinary cultures and adventures, and she teaches cooking classes at All Through the House in Stoughton. Well, coming up next, we will continue our little French foray, and we are going to talk about French wine with Jessica Bell of My Wine School. Stay tuned. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson on the Ideas Network.